Yes, as much as anything else from last Sunday evening, I've had comments from the people about the singing and about the playing, and so appreciate Gwen singing and leading the singing, and Carolyn's playing, and Gwen, I don't know whether we can do it or not, but somebody even suggested we have a night every month or so where let people choose the songs they want to sing. Carolyn can play anything. If you hear from Lakewood, we remember Marcellus Bridge. Marcellus was our organist and pianist there for about 6 or 7 years. And he had that gift that I always thought it was a little unfair for anybody to have, but if Marcellus had ever heard a song, he could play it. And he was an accomplished musician with all kind of degrees in music as well, but I was leading the singing in the youth revival and just had song sheets, and I'd call out a name to him, and every one of them he played without any music before him. Always thought it was a little unfair, maybe, for anybody to have that much natural ability. But anyway, we thank God for all of our musicians, and I was just sort of overwhelmed when Vicki this morning, I came in the door out there, and I heard the organ playing, and I saw it was Barry back, and then I looked in and saw Vicki at the organ, and I think she does pretty good for a 13-year-old. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we come back to the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read verses 27 through 31. And Jesus said to them, "All you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I've read this passage of Scripture from Mark's Gospel across the years, I've been interested in where my attention focused. And I wonder where your attention focused as you heard it tonight. To tell you the truth, as I've read the passage, most of the time my attention was always on Peter. I have seen this mostly as a warning to Peter and have looked at Peter's strong affirmation and, in effect, looked forward to Peter's failure. Now, it came to me as I read this one day that Jesus did not say, "Peter, you will fall away." He said, all of you will be offended because of me, or as the Revised Standard says, you'll all fall away, as J.B. Phillips puts it. Every one of you will lose your faith in me. New English Bible translates this, you will all fall from your faith. You see it? All you will all, every one of you will all fall away. This was a warning, not just to Peter, but to all of the disciples. Note another thing here. While it was Peter who objected so violently to Jesus' warning and went so far as to say, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you," we tend to forget the latter part of verse 31, "and so said all the disciples." It wasn't just Peter who said, "If I have to die with you, I will deny you." All of them said likewise. This warning was for all the disciples. And they all spoke out saying that they would never Never be offended. Never stumble. Never lose faith. Never fall away. Never deny Jesus. All of them said it. And yet, we know they all failed. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied him. The other 10 all forsook him and fled. And we ask the question, why, and what does this have to say to us? Now, I'm going to look at that in a minute, but just for a moment, think about how painful this must have been for Jesus. You expect trouble from your enemies. The possibility is ever before you, and you know it can cause you trouble at any time. Your enemies can cause you trouble any moment. But to be deserted in your hour of greatest need by your closest friends is surely one of the most painful experiences that a person can have. In your hour of greatest need, not to have a friend to stand by. Can you imagine that? If for some unknown reason I needed help at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's several of you here tonight, I wouldn't hesitate to call. You'd come. You'd come. But in His hour of greatest need, Jesus had no one. No one to stand with Him. How difficult this must have been. But now to our question. Why the disciples desert Jesus, and what does it have to say to us? Well, I think first that they thought they knew better than Jesus did. They thought they knew better than Jesus. Jesus warned them that they'd all fail. He told Peter that He would deny him soon, before daybreak. And He told him that He would deny him often, 3 times. But Peter and the others thought they knew better than Jesus. And Peter speaks out, "I will never fall away." And as we've all seen, the others said the same thing. "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." They were sure they knew better than Jesus. And we might say how foolish they were to think they knew better than Jesus. But you ever analyze your own actions? Don't we do this? Can we honestly say that we can walk down the street or be at work 1 hour without finding instances of human wisdom that flatly contradict what Jesus taught? Do we not often trust in our own keen judgment, our shrewdness, our foresightedness, rather than living in obedience to the revealed will of God? Can people believe us and depend upon us when we tell them something? Can they just know that it's true because we said it? And because we said it, they know it's so. I remember from years ago, in fact, my first year in the ministry, talking about a fellow in the community that didn't even belong to the church. He came, but he didn't belong. And somebody said, if somebody sent me word that he was coming to whip me, I'd get ready to have a beating, because if he said he's going to do it, he'd do it. Can people trust us that way? We say we're going to do something, do we always carry through? And Jesus said, love your neighbor as you do yourself. He said, love your enemy. He said, do good to those who hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you. Do we act in love? Or do we act if Jesus really didn't know what He was talking about? Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven. But we know that we need so many things, you know. we need a big house and several cars and fine cabin on the lake and a power boat. And surely we have to plan for the future, so we need our investments and savings. After all, if we don't look out for number one, no one else will. And sure, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we'll surely do that when we can find the time. Surely we know better than Jesus how we need to live in these troubled times. Warning, you shall also fall away. Another thing here we see applies to Peter specifically. Peter set himself above the other disciples in virtue. Or he said, though they all be offended or fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Everybody else might fall away. Everybody else might leave you. Everybody else might forsake you. But I will never fall away. I'm not too sure of their strength of character. But I will never fail. I'm sure of myself. But don't think Peter too foolish. Well, he was foolish, but no more so than we are when we set ourselves up as being better or more noble or more moral or stronger spiritually than other people. Have you ever looked at someone, at their conduct, their lifestyle, and said, I'd never do that? Do not sometimes look at a whole race of people or whole nationality of people and think that somehow because of the color of their skin we're superior to them. This is an ancient history. It happened just a few years ago. A couple who had reservations to have a wedding reception at a certain club in the Birmingham area. All was well until it was discovered that a black person had been invited to the wedding reception. And immediately, the reservation to use the club was canceled. Now, there were black people at the club, but they were there as parking attendants and cooks and waiters and servants. The members of the club looked at all of them, of course, as inferior. Careful how you think about other people. Careful how you think about the homeless, those on welfare, foreigners. Dare we forget that Jesus depended on others for a place to lay his head? He said, the birds of the air have nests. And the fox of the field have dens, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Dare we forget that he wasn't a Gentile like us, but was a Jew, a foreigner? Peter and the others thought they knew better than Jesus. Peter set himself above the other disciples in virtue. And Peter and the other disciples overestimated their powers of will in the struggle of the soul. They thought they were able to stand firm with Jesus. Others, the multitudes had left him when times got difficult, but they were sure they never would. They were able. They were ready, if need be, to die with their Lord. At least that's what they thought. That's what they said. Even when they came to Gethsemane and Jesus told them to watch and pray, for the spirit was willing but the flesh was weak, they went to sleep. Others might be weak. Others might need to spend that time in prayer. But they would not fail. Is this not like us? How enthusiastically some of us sing, "Are you able," said the Master, "to be crucified with me?" And heroic spirits answer, "To the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able." And we mean it. I think we do, just like the disciples did. In our imagination, we may even dramatize some temptation and imagine our victory over it, our defeat of it. We may be sure that we can go near evil without yielding to it. But when the hour of testing comes, are we any more faithful than were the disciples? Surely if we trust in our strength alone, if we've not spent time in the Word and in prayer, then we, like the disciples of old, will surely fail. Let's look at one other passage that's not found in Mark, but a parallel passage in Luke. There Luke records Jesus saying to Peter, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." What hope, what promise in the words, "when you have returned." The failures that are ours, the stumblings of our weakness, even our outright sin, when we are forgiven, can be turned to gain. One of the great hymns of Wesley, he says, "God breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free." Someone has said, "God can do more with sin than forgive it. He can use it for His glory." When we fail and return to Him, we can become a warning to our neighbor. And we can say to any that will listen, "Look at me. I thought I was strong, but I failed, Jesus. I was as weak as water. No one is strong except in the power of Christ." You know, I was appreciative of Michael's sermon this morning. He was talking about Jesus being an example for us. And I thought, that's good. But examples sometimes make me feel bad because I don't measure up. But he didn't stop there. He said, in Him we have the power of the Spirit to live the life. No one is strong except in the power of the Spirit of God. When we are forgiven, we should be more compassionate to others who fail. We could tell them without hesitation that God still loves them, and they too can be forgiven and begin again. When we are forgiven, we should be more forgiving to those who sinned against us. Be aware that we need to guard our souls and be strong in the power of His might, or we too shall fall away. We don't know better than Jesus. We're not above better than other disciples. We do not have strength within ourselves to overcome. Watch and pray. Depend only upon Jesus. And when you do fail, turn immediately to Jesus and confess your sin and find His forgiveness and allow Jesus to use even your failures for His glory. Amen and amen. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that when we fall, we can turn again and find forgiveness and renewed strength and renewed life and renewed hope. Thank You.